On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smoot.
This is Landon Collins.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hope you enjoyed Santa Claus and all that entails. I am JP Finley. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast. We're in Mitch's car. Pete's here. I want to thank our gracious sponsors, Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the same damn thing. Busy podcast. Got good interviews with Bill Callahan and Ryan Anderson. I want to run both of those in full. So we are going to start rather quickly. We're going to dive in here. Pete and I had to do a game preview for the website, for our videos for the website. And we do that every week. And we looked at each other and we're like, man, nobody cares about this game. All Redskins fans care about is what's going to happen with Bruce Allen, who's going to be the next head coach. Now, there are a selection of the hardcore fans that still want to beat Dallas. But I think most Skins fans want to lose and lock in the second pick. Now, I wonder if you could get a pie graph of fans that want to win versus want the second overall pick. Because, like, the easiest poll for us to do is Twitter. But Twitter is not indicative of the Redskins fan base. Twitter is, like, typically,
that's where, like, more of the forward-thinking people are, I think. There's just the hardcore people.
There are a lot, like,
angry people.
Uncle Don ain't on Twitter.
Right, like, right. The really, you know.
The people that go to FedEx 50,
60, 70-year-old Redskins fans aren't on Twitter.
I'll tell you what, if you tell them that
there's plenty of 30-year-olds not on Twitter.
I know, but
if you tell them that the Redskins win keeps the Cowboys out of the playoffs.
Right.
If the Redskins win directly causes the Cowboys to not make the playoffs, I bet that number goes up a little bit.
That's good enough for a lot of fans. That's a good point.
Okay.
Good question.
So, let's put it here. So I think because it's the Cowboys, I do think more people want to win. You know, if this was a Week 17 game against the Falcons or something, I don't think anybody would really care. I bet it's almost a damn near split, 50-50, as far as wanting to beat the Cowboys versus wanting to lose and get the second pick.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little higher towards the second pick because I think people are so checked out of this season that kind of this it's just a wash of a year. 2019, so let's think about the future. But certainly if the Redskins beating if the Eagles win, then I think that number goes up to 90% of people want the Redskins to lose and get that second pick. But if the Giants somehow walk in there and Daniel Jones upsets the Eagles and it's up to the Redskins to keep the Cowboys out of the playoffs, I bet in the moment people are going to get pretty damn excited to see that situation.
Mitch is bullish. Pete, what say you?
I think it's like 55-45 second pick over winning. Just because they've had 2 months to now kind of see, all right, we've learned that more losses is better in the long term. And I think enough people have been converted to that way of thinking that it edges towards that group just a little bit.
Mitch, your tire pressure's low and you need maintenance soon.
Yeah.
You might want to get on that.
It's time to hit up Boardsman of Virginia.
All he did was just change his menu to ignore it all. Yeah. He's like, okay, I'll just go back to my fuel range.
You guys know how I feel about it.
I know how you feel.
That
and your
amazing.
Fuel range is on empty.
No, my fuel range is 180 miles. I got forever.
He's so casual. He just goes, click, click. Yeah. Okay, more podcasts.
All right. One reason to care about this game. Not 20. You, words that are not allowed. Bruce Allen, Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
2020, the future.
The four quarters on Sunday.
Yeah. One reason, because we want you to watch the pregame and the postgame.
Yes,
so we're going to try to come up with a reason
and
to
read
watch
our
the
stories.
Damn game. Yeah. So, Pete, you can go first.
Okay.
As soon as you get done picking your notes.
Seriously, what are you doing with that? It's my car. Be
doing
careful.
With what?
Whoa, are you just picking your nose live on the podcast?
Stop.
Live on the
No, this is all a lie.
Do wipe that on the... Did that eat it?
That's so gross. That's so gross.
Oh,
he's not eating it. But he did just flick something out the window.
That's
that was
embarrassing.
Disgusting.
All right. Things to care about on Sunday. And I... That was really good. And I think this has... This can work with Terry McLaurin playing or not. And it goes with Steven Sims.
God, that was mine.
If McLaurin does play, it'll be fun to watch him and Steven Sims play again, see what they can look like together one last time. But if McLaurin doesn't play...
Record?
What record? Oh, right. No, this is a Steven Sims-centric thing. So if McLaurin doesn't play, it'll still be interesting to see Steven Sims because he'll be more focused on by the defense. They won't have to shade towards McLaurin. They won't have to cover him as much. Sims will get more attention. So with McLaurin, you can see how they look. But without McLaurin, you can see if Sims can handle that additional responsibility as a wide receiver. That's what I am most interested in.
I don't...
The growth of Steven Sims.
But I still think he's a slot guy. Like,
I know,
I don't think
but
moving him outside.
I know, but I think, you know, DBs won't have to worry so much about McLaurin taking the top off. They can maybe... cover towards Steven Sims more, play more of the intermediate to middle of the field stuff. I just want to see Sims one more time and see how his progression goes as a receiver. That's my storyline.
Do you want to watch Steven Sims?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know where I'm going. I want to watch Wes Martin. I want to see what
that's
that
a good one.
I want to see what that maturation process looks like. I want to see him getting better. Just like we talked about Dwayne, you want to see him getting better game to game. You want to see him improving. The Cowboys have a pretty good defensive front up there. Let's see what Wes Martin has.
All right.
I like it.
Kind of, you're at a loss, huh?
Yeah.
The cupboard's a little bare.
AP, I mean, what does he need now to get 2,000?
I mean, it's going to be a lot.
It's like one... It's a lot,
it's
right?
A lot.
170 or something?
It's going to have to be a vintage game.
I mean, if that happened, it would be really, really cool.
It's going to be fun to watch Case sling it around, but he doesn't really matter much.
Right. Like, the last couple weeks, so Adrian's at 820, so he needs 180 against Dallas. I don't know that that's going to happen. Yeah, you know, the last couple weeks... Watching Dwayne is important. Dwayne has immense value. Obviously, Dwayne's not playing. Like, that's not... You know, in the old days, that would have been its own emergency pod.
Dwayne not playing?
Yeah.
Seriously.
But I think in some way, it's kind of, you're kind of watching a car wreck, but, like, the continued benching of Josh Norman.
Yeah.
And these dudes, they're going to be playing this week.
Breon Borders, and then there's another guy.
And it's tough because in no way are we trying to degrade these players that are going to play for an NFL team. They're elite athletes. They've made it this far. That's commendable. But, like, what the organization is doing with Norman is just outrageous. It's just crazy.
Yeah. And that
think about how good it is for all those dudes getting a game check, you know?
Yeah.
All, like, the guys who were being signed off the street who weren't getting a paycheck at all, but the guys who were on the practice squad making, you know, whatever, a fraction of what they're making for the single game is good for those guys.
And that can tie into Norman and guys like Chris Thompson. You know, this is going to be the last game for a lot of players we've gotten used to and have seen for a while.
Maybe Sheriff.
That's another storyline. Just the goodbye to some of these staples.
Maybe Eric Flowers. Mitch will be all very upset.
They should already be in contract negotiations with him.
Who's doing the negotiating right now?
Very good point.
Okay. I feel like we've adequately covered
it. We weren't allowed
very
to talk about that, though,
finale.
So I wasn't going to right. get there.
That's true. All right, so we'll move on to what people care about.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
I want to thank the good folks Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Go check out my guy Garv over at Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. I'm going to go see him tomorrow morning.
Don't go to the service center.
Don't go to the service center. Go to the sales.
Mitch might need to go to the service center.
Yeah, you should go to the service center.
Maybe I should drive you out to see Garb.
Yeah, really. Mitch has a read.
Oh, I do have a read. I was almost ready for it, too.
You got a new shirt?
You got a new shirt, too.
Congrats.
It's really nice.
If you're a football fan, you need to check out the new game, Sunday Night 7, on NBC Sports Predictor app. There's really no reason not to play. It's totally free and has $2 million in guaranteed cash prizes this season, with 100K up for grabs every single week. Just make 7 predictions about what will happen in Sunday Night Football when the Seahawks host the Niners. Winner takes the NFC West crown for a chance to win some serious money. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app or head to NBCSports.com/predictor now to make your Sunday Night 7 picks.
Enthusiasm is top-notch.
Well done. You can never question Mitch's bullish enthusiasm. All right.
I do my best. That's why I want your what up everybody's to be.
JP's reinvigorated. Don't uninvigorate him.
He's reinvigorated.
The key to our success as a podcast is authenticity. So I'm not going to deliver fake bullishness all the time like other folks in this car might.
It's not fake bullishness. You could be excited that you're doing a pod.
Or it can be
Week 17 of a 3-12
right, like
year.
Some days you're not excited. Some days you're telling awful news and talking about an awful football game.
I don't know that I haven't been unexcited for a single pod this season.
You're telling me after that Jets game you were excited?
I was excited to pod with you guys, yeah.
I get what you're saying to a certain extent.
I like doing the pod,
yeah.
But like
the subject matter could be more
dude,
fun.
You're full of bull. You're so bullish.
You're full of S.
I'm not. I'm the one being honest.
Oh, God.
You're so annoying, Jenny, this season to end.
Who would have thought you'd be saying that to Mitch and not me?
I know. Just, dude, it's been a whirlwind.
Less picking of your nose back there, buddy.
Stop
yeah,
it.
Jeez.
For the love
stop.
None of that happened.
Both of you, stop. Stop. Bill Callahan this week campaigned openly to be the head coach in 2020 and beyond.
Is this a job you'd like to do continually moving forward?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely would.
And I'm kind of surprised it took this long. In a lot of ways, he's been campaigning, just not publicly. It's like when a guy's going to run for president but hasn't, and he's still, like, doing the tours and writing books and kissing babies. Like, that was Callahan for 2 months. Now he's just like, yeah, I want the job. Of course I want the job.
Last Sunday, he was literally kissing babies. He had his family out on the field.
Right.
His, well, I assume,
grandchildren.
Grandchildren were out there.
Yeah.
It was cute.
You know what was remarkable is last Sunday, Skins, Giants, overtime, 35s. Dolphins, Bengals, overtime 35s. Head coach of the Redskins, Bill Callahan, and his sons running the offense for Cincinnati. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bill Callahan's not going to be the next head coach. Look, it's not happening. He's the interim coach. I don't even know how.
Is there a 1% of it happening? They go out, ask all these candidates, Urban, Bieniemy, even Jim Caldwell. They all turn him down, and Bill returns just because he's the last
remaining
guy.
I think there's a little more than 1%. I think if the game ends Sunday and Dan decides that Bruce isn't going, I think that there's a 10% chance that Bruce keeps Bill on board because they're going to say that they've seen a change in the team and it's been a turnaround since Jay left.
Well, and you'll get to hear Callahan kind of talk about some of that stuff in my interview with him, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it either, but
what's your percent chance Bruce stays?
Stays in the current role that he has. Nothing changes with
that
Bruce.
Nothing changes at all, 5%.
That stays in the building.
17.5%.
What are you going to do? Hey, Bruce, you're demoted? They ain't demoting that guy.
Hey, Bruce, we're shifting your role.
Yeah.
You're taking on a new project.
What? There's ways in charge of everything.
There's
what
ways
the
to
new
phrase
project?
It. I don't know. You say politely.
All right, so you're at...
Bruce, we're directing you from this. Now you're just going
right.
to do this.
What's the title now? President.
Team president.
Team president. So now you're going to be president of. You're going to be team president of.
Stadium ops.
Yeah, or of whatever it is. And you're going to have a team president of football operations that's going to step in / GM.
All right.
I don't.
They can make a press release.
I don't
out of
think
anything.
That. I don't. Either way, I don't think that's happening. I think that he's gone overwhelmingly, but. There's a chance that he stays in his current role as is, and we'd be remiss if we didn't at least remind people that that's still a possibility.
Yeah.
There would be a full-scale riot. If they bring the whole band back together, there would be a full-scale riot.
Yes, this is a band nobody wants to see reunite and go on another year worth of tours.
No reunion tour here.
I think Bill has, 5% chance.
I think...
Just because of the weird way of thinking.
I have come
place.
To admire Bill. I think he came into a very hard situation put his foot down. The guys pushed back hard, and he finally broke through. Like, the Saturday night before the Lions game clearly changed the tenor of the season, and that matters, and he deserves credit for that. Now, what happens next? I don't believe Bill is a part of this. I think there's going to be I think you'll see a full defensive makeover. There could be some holdovers. One thing that's interesting too, a lot of these guys just signed last year.
Right, the tight ends coach, the DBs coach,
right. Angelico, Horton,
Rob Ryan,
Katzer, special teams coach.
Yeah, Katzer's doing well.
And you don't know what their deal looks like. I mean,
yeah,
it could be 3-year deals, which are fairly standard.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell, does he have another year left on his deal? Is he going to be part of whatever the new regime is?
You have Ike Hilliard, who's made three young receivers look pretty good these past couple months.
Right. Although he couldn't get Doxson to work. Sure. Nobody else can either.
Yeah. They brought in, the QB coach?
Rattay.
Right. New. Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of moving parts on those contracts. And is whatever those contracts are, I mean, those guys are making – some of those guys might be clearing a mill, but they're certainly making hundreds of thousands of dollars. You add all that up, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking –
8 to 10 million or something?
I was going to say 4 to 5, but okay. Yeah, I mean, it's
– yeah.
You're going to eat that on top of
the five?
You're paying Jay $5 million next year.
Right.
Whatever you got to pay the new guy to come in. the new guy's going to be making at least 8 a year.
Not to mention team president, GM, all those roles are going to be paid also.
Right.
Dan's talking about a lot of money out of his pocket.
Right.
To make these changes.
Right. And there's a lot of money in those pockets.
Right.
But like, billionaires don't become billionaires by throwing their money around stupid.
Like, well, like keeping those pockets.
What's your percentage that Bruce is back in any capacity?
America's favorite game show.
Oh, man.
Will Bruce be back?
Will Bruce be back in his current role?
No.
0%.
Yes.
What is the chance that he comes, that he stays in any role? We're not reporting.
I was told 2 months ago this is going to happen.
So are you still confident that it's going to happen 2 months later?
I don't know.
It's just,
so drop
me
a percentage chance.
The guy's a firefighter, man.
He is. Drop me a percentage chance.
I'm working on it, Mitch.
While you
I'm
think
calculating.
About it, yeah, I think just every day that it passes where he doesn't happen, it's kind of bizarre.
Pete, what's your chance he's back in his current role?
Current role, 5%. Back at all, 20%. And that goes up like a quarter of a percent every day that they haven't decided on him yet. Just like, what's the point? Why wouldn't they have decided by now? And I get maybe they want to give him this little secret nice goodbye on a Friday night or right after the finale, try and make it as peaceful as possible. But the way they should have done it already.
Pete, you didn't know that you did it, but you said it was 5% that he comes back and it goes up a quarter of a percent every time over the past 2 months. That's 60 days. That's 15%. That gets you to your 20%.
Yeah, exactly. I did know that I did that. That was exactly what I wanted to do.
Do you know where Jim Zorn was fired?
Where?
I don't know that this is out there.
At a funeral or something?
No. You know where, Mitch?
At the stadium in L.A. in San Diego?
No. Was it on the airplane on the way home?
Shax Field?
Nope, was not on the airplane.
Where was it?
This is going to be... I'm really thrilled
to
hear about this.
In the van after the airplane.
I feel like I knew that.
They let him land?
Boy, so, I hear you on... That each day, because you're right, it's bizarre. But
we saw the Jags get rid of Coughlin. Like,
that was like an NFLPA.
Right, I know, but now's the time to start doing.
I mean, sure. But we're getting, like, if he survives Monday somehow,
right? If it's
like that number changes dramatically in my mind.
That's a checkpoint.
Like, if it doesn't happen on Monday, you're going to get a full scale riot. Like,
totally.
That's, forget whether he ends up coming back. If it doesn't happen on Monday or Sunday.
I agree. Like, so the NFL mandates that there's a 3:00 press conference the day after your season ends. I don't believe Bill Callahan's going to be the head coach for that press conference. I don't know that they'll have a head coach for that press conference. So typically, a team executive, a general manager, or a team president would handle that press conference. I don't know who the hell is going to handle that press conference.
Doug Williams.
Yeah, Doug Williams is my pick, as of now.
Maybe it's Doug. Maybe it's Eric Schaefer. Maybe it's Kyle Smith. Maybe it's Bruce Allen. But if Bruce Allen holds that press conference on Monday.
Oh, boy.
Riot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it ends with.
By the way,
thanks for everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's my resignation.
Maybe it's Bruce handing it over to somebody else. Biozone. What was that thing where they built like a big bubble?
The biodome.
Biodome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like Ashburn, in some ways, operates in a biodome, right? Like there's a giant bubble over here that sometimes people can't see out of. The bubble has been pierced. People see. People understand the anger and the angst and all of it. And I just, if it's not now, yeah. I don't know when.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
If it's not now, then he's in charge of this team until the end of time.
So
I think Monday morning.
Percentage. That Bruce is back in any capacity next year?
Less than 10%.
Okay.
A lot of people in their cars are celebrating and high-fiving.
No, I think people in their cars are furious that isn't 0%.
100. Yeah, yeah.
Because before months...
It's not up to me, man.
No, I know. But I'm saying the people that are the most plugged in are no longer 100% sure that he's gone. Even though it's just... we've been being teased with it for 2 months, like you said.
I've never been 100% sure it was happening.
Right.
I think that's important to point out.
Yes. We've been being teased with it for 2 months, and the fact that it hasn't happened yet, and now we're 2 or 3 days away from the drop-dead point of when the last point in the season that makes logical sense.
Let's add this, too. I reported this last week. I mean, Bruce is a leading scout. The first meetings for the 2020 draft happened 2 weeks ago, and Bruce was... leading them.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
he's Teflon, man.
Yeah. Monday is a hell of a day. And to that
should
point,
we promote our stuff on Monday?
Well, to that point,
yeah, promote.
Friday, Sunday, we more than likely will not have a post game podcast, as we'll be doing the podcast on Monday at the end of locker cleanout and the 3 o'clock availability. Speaking of locker cleanout and the 3 o'clock availability, on TV and concurrently on the app. From 3 to 4 p.m., we will be doing a stream/TV show, and then we will have a podcast for that evening as well. So lots of stuff coming up for the end of the season.
If they win, we'll do a podcast.
If they win, we'll do a podcast.
But I also, the NFL flexing this game has caused big trouble for
us. So many stressed reporters in there looking at flights.
So I'm flying back Sunday night, and these guys are staying until Monday morning. So the logistics of doing a podcast could be a little difficult. I'll be on the flight with Kai, maybe. Whatever. We'll figure that out. But I think the bigger point here is it makes no sense to do a game podcast for something that is largely trivial when the things that will matter. My guess, just like Jay, we're talking Monday 5 a.m., Monday 6 a.m. Those are my guesses. That is, set your alarms, yeah. Redskins fans. I mean, maybe it could be tomorrow. Afternoon.
Friday afternoon.
I mean, we have seen Friday news dumps
right
in Ashburn and certainly in Washington. That's a known thing. But I think Monday morning is game time.
Okay.
So buckle up. We will have a million contents. We will have all of this.
So much content. You'll be content with the content. Perhaps even really happy.
All right. Lots of interviews. I want to get to them. We're waiting just like you guys are, man. We understand the angst in this situation. And it's harder here. I mean, it is a weird vibe walking around these hallways.
Yeah, it's a strange vibe.
It is good that they are young. The players that are going to be part of this thing for the long term are mostly young. I think that is good because Mitch is now turning his blinkers on.
I can't
turn it off.
There you go, buddy.
You got to take your car to Oarsman Automotive of Virginia, dude.
Weird situation going on in the front seat there. This is disobeying
you.
Did you
know how many lights there are on the average, like, dashboard?
They're all
of them are on.
Like, one of them is the seatbelt thing, so I get it, but, like...
That, the tire press... What's the eye?
That just means something
wrong. The eye is for the maintenance too soon.
Is the wrench up there?
Yeah, there's a wrench.
There's no wrench.
Wrench is when you go to the maintenance. You're in trouble, man. We got 10% oil life?
10% oil life?
You guys know how I live on gas life. You think I'm concerned about...
But oil's a little different.
But, Mitch, all these things are happening simultaneously. They're happening concurrently.
It's the end of the year, man. We're all running on fumes.
Including Mitch's Honda Pilot.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Time to go. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. I owe you a beer. We're going to run the interviews now.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921.
Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Here he is, Bill Callahan, after another hard-fought loss. I'm curious if yesterday stuck with you kind of like that Eagles loss did.
Yeah, it did. They all hurt, and especially for this team, you know, to take a team into overtime like that and come away with a loss was pretty devastating, to say the least. So, you know, two divisional foes who you want to beat, and you come up on the short end of the stick, and not very appealing. You know, it's tough. Sure. It's very tough from a morale perspective, and also, you know, just from the spirit of the team, you know, trying to keep them up and keep them alive to finish off against the Cowboys.
I'll say this, though. There's been three straight well-fought, tough losses, and your guys keep showing back up. I want to talk about Dwayne Haskins. We know he suffered the high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. He's going to be out for that Cowboys game. You've been here for the whole Haskins ride in Ashburn. How would you grade his performance and improvement over the course of his rookie year?
Yeah, getting better. And yesterday was truly indicative of his efforts and the way that he performed early on. I thought he was having a great game up to the point he did get injured. And boy, if he came back, I think he would have been hotter again. He would have gotten a little bit better throughout the game. But unfortunately, we had to sit him down. And now we're sitting him down this week for this game.
For Dwayne, in a lot of ways, the offseason starts now. What do you want him working on? Where can he improve, not at practice, not on the field?
I think everything. But I do think you do need to practice on the field and off the field. And getting the mental reps in the classroom or watching video or tape, and also combining that with working out and training your eyes and feet and getting with receivers to get his timing down and understanding progressions better and understanding the system better, I think that will all help him.
Obviously, you guys are playing the Cowboys, and as someone that coached down there for a while, I imagine beating the Cowboys would mean a lot to you.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I think it's just our divisional game. And again, it's not about me and what I want, but I want for our team. And I want our team to go down and compete with everything they have. We've done that the last 2 weeks against divisional opponents, and I'm pretty confident we can do that again.
I want to talk about the imprint you've made on this football team in the last couple months here. You came in, you talked about work ethic and kind of changing the culture in the locker room, on the practice field. How much of that do you feel you accomplished?
Quite a bit, in fact. I see a lot of our practice habits and a lot of our practice techniques translate to the game. And when you see that, I think you're satisfied as a coach because you want your players to do well. But practicing hard and practicing with a focus and a focused concentration and taking those aspects of your play or of the unit's play into a game and seeing that type of success, I think that's really rewarding for a coach and a player.
Noticed you had your family at the game yesterday. Are they normally there? Is it holidays? Everybody's in town?
Well, I had my grandchildren in town. I had three of them. So it was great. Yeah,
they're not like in a special town. Moment for you.
It was. It really was. And my two grandchildren are obviously my son is a coordinator in Cincinnati, so they were playing Miami yesterday, so I wasn't able to see him, but his wife and my two grandchildren came in, so it was great to see them be with us.
Do you allow yourself, it's been a while since you were a head coach in the NFL and you're getting, you know, this second opportunity at it. Do you allow yourself to enjoy those moments at all? Maybe an hour before kickoff when you're holding your grandson and you're the head coach?
I did yesterday. Yeah, I thought that was special. It's the holiday season. You know, it's Christmas, and the family came in for the holidays, which is really hard and rare for us as a family. So when we can all get together, it is a special moment. So that was kind of neat yesterday. Pretty cool being on the field with my grandkids and throwing the football around and having some fun.
I watched it kind of unfold. I thought it looked like a special time. Obviously, you were zeroed in on the Skins game. Did you have any idea of the chaos going on between the Redskins and the Giants and the Dolphins at the Bengals and at the same time?
I didn't. No, not until afterwards.
All of these draft fluctuations are happening.
Well, you know how I feel about that.
I imagine that's not at the top of your mind.
No, but I didn't hear about the Miami-Bengal game until afterwards. So, you know, I was a little bit heartbroken on both ends.
Sure.
The Callahans didn't do very good yesterday. So,
going forward.
Yeah.
I believe, do you want the job, head coaching job here?
Oh, sure. Why not? Absolutely. It's a historic, prestigious franchise. I think we've made a lot of strides. But, yeah, definitely. No question about it.
I don't know if you're familiar with Todd McShay. He's an ESPN draft analyst, college football guy. And he made a, I don't know if it was an offhanded joke or what, but he said, there's 31 other jobs I'd want before the Redskins job. I'm just curious how you react to a statement like that.
Yeah, wow, that strikes me hard differently because, you know, there are only 32 head jobs in the NFL. And, yeah, this is, we've fallen on some hard times, but who wouldn't want to take over a challenging situation and turn it around? I mean, there's a lot of reward in that. I mean, our players play hard. I mean, week in and week out. I mean, you see great effort. You see great intensity and focus. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a head coach of an NFL franchise? I mean, those are just statements from different pundits. But, no, I don't respect that statement because this is a prestigious franchise and it deserves the very best. And obviously, I would give it its best.
Sure. You've shown that. From me to you, you've clearly shown that. There's all sorts of speculation about what type of changes could be made elsewhere, front office, coaching staff, any of that. I imagine none of that is in your purview or what could happen. What do you tell your guys going into the last game? And in a lot of ways, even just regular NFL life, there's going to be significant roster change. Mm-hmm. What do you tell these guys to zero in this week?
Well, it's our last game, so let's go on a high note. It's a divisional opponent. You know, we don't like them. They don't like us. So let's go down to Dallas and finish off on a high note.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Looking left, Wentz. No place to go. He's hit from behind.
Get the ball.
Ball is fumbled.
Get the ball.
It is loose, and there's a big pile up. Who has the football?
We do.
The Redskins have the football. First turnover of the game is recovered by John Allen.
That's a huge job by Ryan Anderson getting the fumble there. Wentz careless with the football, stepping up. Probably could have ran for it.
Yeah, Ryan's a beast.
But Anderson gets that thing out.
Yeah, smart guy.
Here we are, Redskins outside linebacker Ryan Anderson, a guy that has really been on fire the last month. What's been going on with your play on the field? Is it more opportunities? Is it you starting to see things more clearly? Why is now your time?
I would say it's a little bit of both. You know, with the opportunity coming, I get to get a better feel for the game. You know, with more reps, I can feel guys out. I can feel, you know, teams out and knowing what they're doing and kind of use a lot of the stuff I put in, like, throughout the week, like tendencies and different other little hits like that. So it's pretty much all, like you say, just the opportunity.
It's not just sacks, though, because you're also getting to the ball. I mean, with pretty ridiculous regularity, is that something you pride yourself on, you strive to do?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, that's how I've been since I was in, you know, high school. You know, my high school coach taught us, like, that all the time, you know, get the ball out. And in college, it was the same thing. So most of the times, like, if I can get there and I feel like I can get it out, I'm going to try to. You know, it don't always come out. But if it's a chance to get it out, get it out.
Do you guys have, like, you know how, like, the turnover chain became a big thing and all that? Do you guys have anything in the OLB room? Like, if you get the ball out, you win $50 or something?
No, we get a turnover and get out the field.
That's all you need?
That's all we need.
It's been interesting getting to know you a little bit over the years here. You are a fun and funny guy. Like, all your teammates always talk about you as this kind of, you know, jokester and stuff. Yeah. But the version that I think fans know is you're quiet. You are so focused on the field. After the Packers game, I wanted to interview you, and you were like, no, because it was a loss. After the Eagles game, how hard has it been for you, a guy that hates losing like few I've ever seen this season?
I hate losing. I was that kid growing up that, like, when we lost a game in City League, that my mom or uncle or coach, whoever took me, they had to take me home right then. Like, because I just act a fool. So it's kind of still like that. You know, after the game, I don't want to talk when I lose. It just, I get emotional, you know.
How have you been able to maintain your professionalism this season then?
Part of being a pro is like keeping emotions out of it. So, you know, I that's the best way to do it. You know, that's why I don't like talking and stuff after I lose, because I don't want to say something I don't want to say. So that's the best way I can go about it.
And then, I mean, in college you had Nick Saban, drafted here you had Jay Gruden. This year there's been change. I mean, going from Jay to Bill Callahan, how do you think the team has handled that transition?
I feel like, you know, the team has responded. I feel like the team has responded a lot better than, you know, most people would, you know, because we, like, midway through the season, it's kind of like we had an identity crisis. You know, we didn't establish our identity in training camp or in OTAs, so we were still trying to find ourselves. So when Coach Callahan got the job, that's what he was doing. You know, we got to establish an identity. You know, if we're not going to do X, Y, and Z, one thing we're going to do, we're going to run the ball, we're going to be physical, and we're going to be tough. We ain't going to go in nowhere and get slapped around. So that's kind of the mentality he instilled when he took over. And, you know, I feel like the guys did a good job of, you know, adapting to that.
And did that – you said the identity crisis. There's for us, there was this meeting Saturday night, I believe it was before the Lions game, where I've been told that Bill kind of lit into guys. Is that – was that a turning point?
I definitely feel like – You know what was said in there was like it needed to be said, and it woke a lot of people up. And, you know, we responded. You know, we got to win in a hard-fought game, you know, against a good team.
And you guys have just – the level of play has been entirely different the second half of the – probably since that Lions game. But, you know, I know that you hate the losses, but even the level of play against the Eagles and the Packers is still impressive.
No doubt, you know, and that just goes to show, you know, like why it's so frustrating, you know, not winning some games that, you know, we should win. You know, this is a good team and it's a great locker room. You know, everybody's tight. This is like the most like family type atmosphere I've been in since I got here. You know, it feel like I was in college. You know, everybody hang out, you know, no matter what it is. You know, if a guy having something, you know, everybody go to it. You know, we just had taco night at Sunbury House the other night.
How were they?
It was good. You know, so it's,
what's your go-to taco?
I eat whatever, you know, his wife make, man. You know, she's a great cook. So whatever, anything she had at is always good.
If you were going to host everybody over, what would the food be?
It'd be soul food.
What do you cook?
Ribs, macaroni and cheese, mashed potato.
Can the media get an invite to that?
Yeah.
I told you can't help yourself. I guess we're not live this time.
Oh, dang. My bad.
What did Bill say?
I can't tell you that.
I know. I was trying to warm you up, talking about ribs and stuff.
I ain't gonna get into all of that, but it needed to be said.
Going forward, 2020 beyond, what direction do you want this organization to take?
Anybody, you know, I would say, you know, we want to take that next step. You know, we got a lot of great players here, and It's time. You know, we the guys want to be elite, and it's time for us to be an elite team. You know, even if it's, you know, just the defensive side of the ball. I'm like John Payne, Matt. You know, all those guys that's on this defense now. You know, they're ready to be that elite group. You know, no matter what happens with offense, special teams, we want to be that type of unit that when you come here, you're gonna get smothered. And it's time for us to do that. And like you say, we gotta set that identity. You know, we got one game right now to go ahead and build towards that and get ready for the offseason, you know, and try to work towards all of that.
How defensively, how do you like the scheme, playing in a 3-4, sometimes having to be in coverage? It's been remarkable, I think, this year for me anyway, to watch Preston Smith's success in a different scheme as just where he gets to be a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Do you ever wonder how that could look differently if you were just a pass rusher?
I mean, I really never really thought about that, you know, because I always been a player that did some of everything, you know what I mean? But whatever changes they make or whatever come with it, I'll be ready. You know what I mean? I just want to play football. At the end of the day, football is football. Sam linebacker is Sam linebacker in a 3-4, 4-3. You know, I'm going to line up off a two, set an edge, and be physical. You know, that's what I bring. You know, if they ask me to rush, I'm going to rush.
You certainly bring physical. I think you've been getting the quarterbacks. You've been getting some flags on you that I can't imagine you love getting. What do you think of just the inconsistencies? My biggest problem, and I'll tell you this, the Panthers game. I don't believe you should have been ejected. But if they were going to eject you, they absolutely should have ejected the young man that put the hit on Trey Quinn.
Exactly.
How do you feel about just the inconsistencies with some of these calls?
It's ridiculous. You know what I mean? I try not to harp on it too much because in the middle of it, you're still in the game and you're trying to win. But like you say, a lot of those calls are game changing, and there's nothing I can do about it. But I hopefully this offseason, you know, they can sit down and look at it and fix some of it because it's changing games. It's changing how it's come with games. You know, guys work hard all week to go out there and win a game. You know, and just for it to be given away or blow by some guy who made a bullcrap call is terrible.
You did a good job not cursing that time.
Yeah.
My last two. I want you to tell me how you think the two first-round rookies have performed this year. We can start with the quarterback or the pass rusher. You can pick.
Sweat. I'm going to start with Sweat because I'm around him the most. Sweat, you know, he's a guy that's grown every week since he's been here, you know. And I can't say enough about how him, you know, how he work and how he responds to a lot of stuff. And he's going to be real good. You know, every week he's gotten better. You know, not even just like from like pass rushing or flashing here and that. Just his understanding of the game. You know, he come up and he asks questions. And sometimes he tell me stuff like in the game last week, he came and told me, it's like, hey, watch out for this and this. Remember we got that. And I was like, dang, he growing up, like he learning, you know what I mean? So just like little stuff like that, you know, he really came a long way. And I'm excited to see where he go.
All right. Now the quarterback.
The same thing. You know, Dwayne's a guy that's been showing up lately, you know, that's showing everybody exactly what he can do and how good he can be. And I'm excited to see him in the future, too, and going forward.
Does he have that innate leadership that a quarterback needs?
He got it. He got everything. Like, just being around him, he got all the tools he need to be an elite quarterback.
All right, last one. Bama, not in the college football playoff, obviously.
Yeah.
Who are you rooting for?
Ohio State.
Ohio State. Yeah. Why?
I like them. I like Ohio State a lot to win it. And, of course, you know, Oklahoma. You know, I love to see it come down to those.
For Jalen?
Yeah, definitely.
Not LSU, I noticed.
No. Nah.
So not rooting for the conference?
Nah, I ain't rooting for LSU.
Got it. Ryan, thank you very much, man.
For sure.
As you can see behind me, there are a lot of Cowboys fans. We're not in Dallas, we're in Landover, but there are unfortunately a lot of Cowboys fans in the parking lot. But I'm also out to find out where the Cowboys fans are, the people who are fans of the team but aren't really fans of the team. So let's go figure out if I can ask them some questions about their favorite team, and let's go do that before I keep doing quotation marks. Do you want to see JP Finley get more involved on offense? You know they love this speed coming out of Maryland.
You know, they did, but I think what we got a steady dose of Zeke coming in, and we got a steady dose of, Cooper coming around. I think we're good.
And you add J.P. Finley to that mix, though, you get pretty dangerous.
You do that, we're going to be, what is it, 25 in the first quarter? Yeah. I like it.
Do you think Brian Mitchell deserves to be in the Cowboys Hall of Fame for all that he did for the franchise?
Absolutely. He was the man. Definitely needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Brought up Witten because the Cowboys have started calling him the old iceberg because he's so old and moves so slow. Do you think that's a fair nickname for Jason Witten?
I say this all day.
What do you make of the reports that the Cowboys want Zeke to stop doing his We Eatin' celebration because they're afraid of him hurting his wrist?
He'll be all right.
You think his wrist will be safe doing that celebration?
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think about Mitch Tischler? He's an up-and-coming offensive lineman who had a really good camp. Do you think he should start getting some snaps, or do you think he needs more time to develop? Mitch Tischler, they drafted him this year out of Maryland.
Oh, yeah. Everyone needs time to develop. Yeah. These guys can't walk in anything without any practice.
Yeah, Mitch needs better technique, I think.
Everybody needs at least 1 year behind, sitting behind the line.
As you guys can see, there's a little bit of a difference between Cowboys fans and smart Cowboys fans.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921.
Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.